Welcome to Conversations for Financial Professionals, a podcast to help shape the next generation of financial advice. I'm your host, Dominique Henderson, and today's conversation is with Miss Jacqueline Shattuck. Jacqueline is a certified financial planner and accredited wealth management advisor currently practicing in Atlanta with Cheryl and Hutchins Financial Advisory. She is one of those that you will definitely want to jot down some ideas and nuggets from this podcast about finding your voice and holding your ground in financial services. If you look at her Instagram profile, you will immediately know what I'm talking about. She has done so much in the space to really give planners a way to personally brand what you're doing as a financial planner inside your 9-to-5 helping clients and showing an aspect of your personal life that helps clients realize that you're a real person. We dive into all types of topics in this conversation, including her own struggle with mental health and being very transparent about how to take care of yourself as a financial professional. You won't want to miss this episode in this conversation. You'll definitely leave with takeaways for being able to find your voice and to hold your ground in the financial services profession. Let's go to the conversation. Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals, the podcast where we're shaping the next generation of financial advice. And today we have my friend and colleague, Jacqueline Shattuck. Jacqueline, you are a certified financial planner and accredited wealth management advisor currently practicing in the ATL at Cheryl Hutchins Financial Advisory. You've spent some time on the FPA board of Georgia, Kennesaw State University alum. Also, you are the recent author of Money Planning and Positivity. And I also consider you to be one of the foremost IG or Instagram personalities when it comes to someone doing it the right way and just being a role model for young planners. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Dom. It's good to see you again. I'm excited to be here. You got the bio pretty much all accurate. You left out the fact that I am a dog mom and Mr. President is around here somewhere. So, you know, you may see him. But yeah. Welcome home.
Yeah. Great stuff. Now, I can't leave out the furry four-legged friends. I have hopefully my Blue won't be barking in the background. I totally know how that is during client meetings. And that seems like when they want to, you know, act up and things of that nature. But cool. I'm glad to have you here. Let me ask you this question right quick, because I know we just got through with 2020. We're 2021 now. What is on the plate for you as far as, do you do any goal setting or vision planning? Like, how do you usually start the new year?
That's a really good question. How do I start the new year? So I actually every year write down my goals, and it's more of like a forward looking kind of thing to keep me on track. And so it's not just like my career goals or how much money I want to make, but it's a combination of I parcel it out, right? So I have like my personal goals. So like, what do I personally want to achieve, like my intrinsic goals for the year? And then I have like relationship goals and spiritual goals. And so I write all of that down, and I've been doing that for in the same format since 2016. Okay. So this is my fifth year, and it's been kind of exciting. Actually, I keep the book here with me, so I can flip through here, and I looked back at my previous years and was like, oh, wow, you know, I did that. Or, you know, I decided, hey, that wasn't actually a fit for me. And so I changed up the goal a little bit. So one thing that I do when I set my goals is I actually set a word for the year. So the word for this year is focus. So I know a lot of times we can get sidetracked by some of the noise out there, especially with social media, where we can kind of get deviated from our purpose. So this year, my word of the year is focus.
No, I love that. I really love that. I picked the word of the year. I haven't really been doing that consistently, but this year for me was all about patience. Not just patience outside of me with others, but patience with myself too. Like patience to reach my goals, knowing that I'm where I'm supposed to be and not trying to get ahead of that or any of that kind of thing. So I love having a word of the year. So I think that segues beautifully into why I asked you on, because finding your voice and kind of holding your ground in financial services. I know you and I have kind of talked about the, you know, what I would call the overdone subject of, you know, maybe the diversity, inclusion and gender equality and things of that nature. But I think some of those topics kind of get pulled into what I want you to kind of opine on today, because as I'm kind of looking, looking from the outside in, I think a lot of young advisors would see like myself or you or any of our other peers, and I'd be like, it's easy for you guys. You know, you guys have been doing it a while. But maybe kind of speak to like the process of what you just named. Like you're going back in your journal and you're looking at, oh, I did that thing. I figured out this thing, or no, that wasn't a good thing. Like, talk about how that has helped Jacqueline find her voice.
So the process has not been easy. If you've heard me on any other kind of podcast or any other platform talking about my journey, I've lately, like in the last year or so, been explaining it as, okay, I said that, you know, this thing happened in my life and it triggered me wanting to be a financial advisor. And then boom, here we are, CFP. And it's just like one linear just journey. And I've elaborated on that recently and been like, yeah, it actually wasn't that easy at all. It actually was very difficult. There was a lot of nights while I was studying for my CFP that I wasn't able to be social. You know, I had set a goal of I want to pass the CFP exam on the first time. And for those in the state of Georgia, the Georgia bar, in order to be an attorney, actually has a better pass rate than the certified financial planner exam.
Okay.
So that made me really antsy inside when I was studying for the exam. And I was like, I have to do whatever necessary to pass this on the first time, because I cannot go through this again. If anybody has gone through or is considering the Kinzon review course, it's a great review course. I use that in order to pass on the first time. But if you've gone through it, you know that it's rigorous. It's several months of dedication, which does pay off. He has a really, really good pass rate. This is not sponsored, by the way, but it was very, very helpful. And so that process from deciding I want to be a financial planner to actually becoming a financial planner was difficult. And what I wish that I would have had more of at the time was a mentor or something similar to your program that you offer, the Jumpstart program, which I guess you are in a form of mentor in that program. And, you know, that would have been really, really helpful for me to be able to navigate to where I am. I think I could have gotten there a little bit quicker, a little bit more efficiently. And so, you know, I do have a couple mentors of my own that I talk to, and, you know, I tell them these are things that I wish that somebody would have told me earlier. And I think that these things could have made the process a little bit smoother. And just to share a gem with you guys, you're watching this on some form of social media or listening to it on some kind of a platform. So make sure that as much as you're listening on that platform, that you're also putting into that platform. So it's important that you're visible on that platform as well. Even if you're not entirely sure you're going to be a financial planner or you're going to be client facing, you never know what benefits are going to come from building a tribe, for lack of better words. So when you have a following, those are people who are buying into what it is that you're showing on that site, right? And so even if you decide to navigate and go in a different direction, those people who have bought into you as a person and what you stand for, they're still going to follow along with you. So that's one of the gems that I like to drop for my mentees is like, hey, how can we ramp up your visibility and your building of, you know, relationships with other people? So I like to share that. But like I said, that process, it went very, very up and down. And, you know, I think that I found some ways to find myself to make myself more grounded, such as, you know, keeping track of those goals, such as reaching out to other people and for forms of mentorship and, you know, pursuing additional education. So all of those things have helped me along my career.
Yeah. So, but I want to go back to something you said earlier, because I mean, one of the, so we obviously met, or not obviously, but we met at a financial advisor conference, the Quad A conference. I think it was maybe that year was in Atlanta. I can't remember right now, but I think it was. Yeah. But what I want to bring out is afterwards, I started seeing your IG profile. And just to be candid and transparent, like your non-financial advisory way of doing stuff on social media is actually what has inspired a lot of me coming out of my show. I think one of the things, and the point I'm trying to make here, is I think our industry is really, it's got this really buttoned up side that is pretty polarizing to potential clients, and to actually show who you are as a person, that you're developing goals as a person, that you're doing other things. I know that you know, from your IG, I know that you like to play basketball and ride motorcycles. Like, that has nothing to do with being a financial planner, but that's part of Jacqueline, right? So I think what I, you know, some of the thing I tell mentees is that, you know, living life makes you a better financial planner, because you have advice about life and not just the black and white of a program like the CFP, as great as it is. Maybe kind of, you know, dig a little deeper. Shane Parrish says double click on this issue of like how you started maybe tangibly developing some of the, you know, things that are kind of germane to you right now. Maybe you're like running past this, but other people are like, okay, wait, I need to have a plan. Like, I don't even journal or things like that. Maybe talk about how that started for you, or some of the milestones or whatnot.
So the social media stuff just happened organically, honestly. I was seeing a lot of I think people were catching on to like influencers. They're catching on to the fact that people aren't always what they show to be on social media, which, you know, I'm obviously like multifaceted and there's more dimensions beyond what you see on social media. But I was like, okay, I think people are like getting that, like, you know, Jacqueline, you're not just a financial planner. Like, yeah, you do, yeah, other things too. Whether the other things are really, really cool, like being a collegiate athlete or riding a motorcycle, you know, there's other stuff that you do. You do hang out with your friends pre-COVID, you know, you do have a dog. What kinds of things go on in your life? Like, it can't just be financial planning. And like you said, the more life that you do, you know, the more experience you have to share with people. And so it's just a good thing, I think, to share that with the world. You know, part of your story, you don't know who needs to hear that. You don't know who's going to get motivation from that. You don't know who's going to snap out of a depression from that. You don't know who's going to be able to overcome the challenges that they're going through by hearing some of your story.
No, so, wait. That's a good soundbite. I love that. You never know what part of your story people are going to resonate with. So do you use that as, how do I want to say this? Because, you know, there's certain limits in our industry as far as compliance is concerned. Like, how did you make the decision on what you were going to limit the world to see about you, but still being able to find your voice and still being able to make that mark like you're talking about? Because it does seem sometimes that could be a fine line depending on the organization you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be a fine line depending on the organization. And just like your own personal beliefs and what you personally want to share with the world. And I think a good way to gauge what you're going to share on social media, if you are a financial advisor or working in an advisory kind of company, is I don't share anything that I don't want to sit down with my highest net worth $12 million client and talk about. Mm-hmm. Anything I share on there, I'm willing to have a conversation with my, you know, highest priority clients about. So when I made a post in the summertime about mental health and I exposed some of the mental health issues that I went through, some of that, you know, trajected me into writing money planning and positivity. And I shared more about why I hone in so deeply on being a positive person and bringing that out through financial planning. I wouldn't be ashamed to have that conversation with my clients. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's important to keep that in mind. Not only do you have compliance that is a hurdle that you need to jump through, but you also have the fact that, like, whatever you put on there, is exposed to the world. You know, all of my social media is public, so anybody can see it at any point. So I don't put anything on there that I wouldn't want to talk about. And I also don't do anything in my career, or, you know, I try not to do anything in my day-to-day life that I wouldn't want to talk to anybody about, that I wouldn't want to own up to. But like you said, our industry is still, I like the term buttoned up on that. We are still buttoned up, and there's not a lot of like breathing room for advisors to be able to share their story or to be able to share stuff on social media. So for those of us that can, we're really winning right now. As you can see, Dom, I see you're winning. So for those of us that can, we're winning right now. And so I would like to encourage people to just be on there in any way, shape, form that they are comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go back to some steps that maybe you use personally to kind of lean into that. I know sounds like self-awareness was a big one. Even personal development, I guess I missed the post about, you know, mental health. I mean, that's been a huge thing, and especially in the last 12 months in this country, probably way more cases of that not being talked about versus have been talked about. Maybe you can kind of opine on that just a bit, because I know as a financial professional, you know, one of the things that I struggled with at first was kind of like imposter syndrome. It's like, I'm telling people to do this and I'm not really there right now, and blah, 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 blah. All the, you know, the mental garbage that goes on in that. Maybe you can speak to that for just a second.
Absolutely. Imposter syndrome, that's a good one to touch on. I think you will get some of that kind of a feeling when you're first in the industry, like, wow, like I'm telling people with millions of dollars what to do and I don't have millions of dollars. So it's not necessarily, I want you to change your mindset about that. As opposed to being an imposter, just say that you're in preparation for that and you're going through the process. So if you talk to any, you know, if you are client facing, or you just talk to anybody that's older and has more money, let's say 60 plus, ask them their story of how they got it. They either inherited it, they, you know, had some sort of a windfall, or they spent time building that up. I mean, there's, you know, I don't know how many other ways there is to get it, but generally they would have spent their entire lifetime building up that money. So the term that I like to use for people is to extend yourself grace, because you're growing, you're learning, your bank account is going to be growing as well, as long as you're taking your own advice. So just know that you're going through the process. I wouldn't consider yourself an imposter, but just that you are working through the process. But as far as the mental health goes and like managing that and, you know, talking to clients about that, I honestly have learned so much about trauma in the last like 2 years, things that like I didn't even know. So not even about myself, just about trauma in general. And the biggest thing that I've learned is that trauma doesn't have a timeline. So
what do you mean by that? Say that, unpack that.
Yeah. So a lot of times we think like, okay, you know, this really, really bad thing happened to Dom when he was a child and Dom should be over it by now because he's an adult. Well, that's not how trauma works. So when you're dealing with clients and they say, you know, they may be 70 years old and like, no, I need to keep this amount of money in cash. And, you know, because this happened to me when I was younger, and you might be thinking like, oh my gosh, like that was 50 years ago. It doesn't matter, because trauma doesn't have a timeline. And so not only do you need to extend yourself grace when working on your own issues, you need to extend your client's grace and understand that trauma doesn't have a timeline, and that, you know, they may be dealing and working through something, you know, for their entire life. And you just have to be cognizant of that and, you know, be gentle with that.
No, I love that. I think that's a really good insight. And as you were talking, I was thinking about my own practice and my own conversations with clients, because there are money stories that they bring to the table that sometimes, and I learned this earlier on, that there's not necessarily, it's not necessarily my job to sit as judge with a right or wrong. It's like, they went through these things, we validate the experience, we inspect whether or not that mindset that they've adopted is correct, and what about that mindset may be limiting them to reaching their goals. And once you pose it like that, then they're like, oh, okay, now I have the power to change. It's not like I'm a victim or anything like that. But I know often, you know, because of maybe the knowledge that we heap up in our CFP programs or whatever it is, maybe our own baggage, I know it is for me, that, you know, the first predisposition is to judge when that's not where the client needs to be. So I love that, giving your clients grace and giving yourself grace too, and kind of like stepping back a little bit. I'm curious, how has your firm helped this process at all, if any? Because I know sometimes we're not in the most ideal situations when it comes to, let's call it first 2, 3, 4, 5 years of your career. How has your firm helped?
The best advice that I can give when working with your firm on compliance or any kind of growth oriented kinds of things is, I would say, try to do that vetting before you sign on as an employee, because, that's, you know, I did that vetting. I did that vetting before I signed on as an employee. I said, yeah, hey, you know, I am into the social media thing. I like to share things on there.
Yeah.
I like to be vocal. As far as being growth oriented, I knew that I wanted to get another designation. I knew that I wanted to finish my master's. So I asked, you know, what kind of support do you provide for that? You know, what's going to be the timing? Is there going to be any kind of grace on, you know, can I take time for schoolwork? That kind of a thing. So I try to do that vetting before I get into that position. Now, if you're already in that position and you're trying to figure out what to do next, it's just important to have that conversation with your supervisor of like, hey, these are my goals. This is what I'm trying to achieve. And this is how I want to go about it. Now, if the goals are related to being visible on social media, you, of course, are just going to have to check with the company's policy. And, you know, you just have to follow company policy. There's no other way to go about it. Typically, what I've been noticing is a little bit more leniency, not necessarily on the broker dealer side, but on the RIA side, a little bit more leniency on the social media front, where you can share financial tips and things like that. Like for me, I just personally would never share actual like investment tips. So I would never say, hey, it's time to go out and buy Tesla. That's not really where I stand on social media. So it's just important to figure out what those guidelines are for you. And then, you know, having that conversation with whoever it is that would need to approve that.
No, I think that's really good wisdom, Jacqueline, because I think some especially career changers, I see this a lot. Aspiring financial professionals, they're so excited, and maybe they've taken my advice. They've watched way too many YouTube videos of Dominique saying, don't worry about how you get in the industry, just get in. Yes, but it is good to kind of know what you want, have mapped out some of your goals, which is the reason why I think, you know, getting a mentor or having somebody that you can look up to that's like, oh, I want to kind of be like them. And you can go ask questions of them and their network and be more informed, so you're just not jumping into any position. You actually have an idea where you're trying to go, some type of career path. That way you can be a little bit more selective about where you land. And when you get there, you're not like, oh, I feel so constricted. And it's like, well, you didn't really study the environment before you got there. Have you ever wondered why doing something alone can be so much more difficult than with someone else? From dieting to working out to studying for a big exam, all these difficult things are better with community. That's why I've created the Jumpstart Community for Financial Professionals on Facebook. This group is full of like-minded individuals trying to improve the world of financial advice, and it's one of the first, if not the first, international communities for aspiring financial professionals. But don't worry, existing financial professionals are just as welcomed. You're able to share in relevant discussion and find the accountability you need to become that next generation financial professional that the world needs and wants. I'd love to see you inside. All you need to do is search Jumpstart Community for Financial Professionals on Facebook to join for free. Now back to the conversation. I want to touch on something that I caught a podcast. I don't remember the name of it. I don't remember the address of the podcast, but you were on there, and this goes into the topic about women in financial services. And I think the soundbite I caught was basically how you maybe be interacting with a couple, a husband and a wife, and the energy that you bring as a female or a woman into that relationship often kind of breaks down the barrier that some men may feel. Because let's just be honest, men in this, you know, in this industry, whether you're practicing or you're a consumer, you got way too much pride and ego in this thing. There's just way too much bias in being in love with our own opinion. So we already know how that works. But maybe you can kind of revisit that topic if in fact you remember what I'm talking about. With I think what I'm really kind of coming the angle I'm approaching is the value of a woman's perspective in the financial planning relationship. Because what I notice is when we have that husband-wife dynamic, we always have one that's kind of like the one that does, you know, like the family CFO. And usually when it's the man, he pushes the woman out and makes her like an appendage almost. She's not a full partner. And I don't know where this comes from, but when it's the flip, I usually see the woman include the man. And I think this is just like gender dynamics a little bit, but let's talk about how you navigate through that. I think this is an interesting topic to kind of talk about.
Yeah. As soon as you brought that up, I was like, I think we talked about that in our first podcast. So go back and listen to that. But I'm still rooting for women. I still think that we make better financial advisors. I mean, part of it is that emotional intelligence. That's part of being a financial advisor. You have to have emotional intelligence and you have to obviously have intelligence. Yeah. And so with that, it's because there's always, when you're doing financial planning for clients, there's always an emotionally correct answer and there's a mathematically correct answer. Mm. And to be a good financial planner, you got to be able to balance both of those with your clients. So as far as women being better financial advisors, I think that, like you said, men kind of want to hear their own opinions. So what I was saying was that, you know, part of why women, I think, make better financial advisors is because when we are in that sort of a setting where there's a husband or wife, or I'm working with just a male client, there's less of that need to feel like he needs to prove himself as being big, bad, the best investor. You know, he needs to make sure that, you know, Dom doesn't think that he doesn't know what he's talking about, because, you know, a man always knows what he's talking about. So
the male ego is so fragile.
Right. So I think because of the emotional intelligence and then just some of that natural womanly nurturing.
No, I think you're hitting on some things. And this is the reason why I encourage, no matter where they are usually, because I mean, even 45, 50 year old career change, I'm saying, like, you can still do this. You can still have a lot of impact. This is one of those careers you can do well into your 70s. Think about it from the standpoint, there's just a different angle. There's a different perspective. I'm all about perspective. I appreciate and recognize that there are different perspectives. Whether I agree with you or not is something totally different, but I will definitely listen to you. And I think that's the value in having a difference in opinion, whether we're talking about gender, whether we're talking about race, ethnicity, all these different things all need to be incorporated into our industry. So I'm sorry, I jumped on a pedestal. Go ahead.
No, I was going to piggyback on that. I mean, we need to be accepting of other people's choices. It's going to be really hard to be a financial planner if you cannot accept other people's choices for what they are. It's not that you always agree with them, but, you know, you still have to just let people believe and do what they want to do. You know, this has been a politically charged year. And so, you know, you've got to be willing to accept people's choices. You're going to have political conversations with clients that you're not going to agree with. Are you going to get into a raging argument with them, or are you just going to accept their choice for what it is? So speaking to career changers that are a little bit older, that story changes. And the thing that I think that's so beautiful about being a career changer is that you've had so much experience before. So you get to share I went through this personally. You know, I wish I had known this. I would have been so much better off had I done X, Y, and Z. I mean, that's a beautiful thing about being a career changer. One of my business mentors, when I first got into financial planning, this person was not a financial planner. And he was like, well, why are you even trying to become a financial planner straight out of college? He was like, go do something else, get some experience, and circle back to financial planning later when you have some experience to share. I obviously didn't follow that route. I had to follow my heart. But I think that being a career changer later on in life can be beautiful.
No, I think it gets back to that point that we made earlier about some of, you know, experiencing life enriches the financial advice that you do give, because you do have, you know, whether it's, you know, being a parent, or, you know, that you've been married a long time, or whatever it may be, you know, been in a career for a long time, developing all the different transferable skills that are there. I think you made a point earlier that I want to kind of opine on before we kind of bring this in for a landing, which is, you know, the idea around accepting other people's perspectives. I think the big idea here, and I want to get your opinion on this, I think the big aha for me is that because I listen to somebody, or I give them audience, because I'm just genuinely curious on how they think, doesn't diminish who I am, doesn't diminish what I stand for, doesn't make me any less of a person. And I think that, to me, that's one of the things that I think one of the reasons that we're so politically charged now, the word that you used earlier, is because we're so intimidated by how people think around things. And I think as a financial planner, I can't afford to be that way with my clients if I want to deepen the relationship. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. You know, it's clients, they will say verbatim from their mouth, I know this isn't good, I know you don't agree with this, but blah, blah, blah.
They say that. They do.
They do. They say it. And they say, you know, I went and did X, Y, and Z. I know you're not going to be happy about it, but here it is. So what do you do? Do you fly off the handle? Or do you say, oh, okay, well, I'm glad you know me.
That's a bold statement. I'm usually like, okay, so how does that rework the plan? Like, so what is the implication here? What is the implication from what you just told me? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So working with them on that front and being accepting of other people's choices is important. And I want financial planners to practice what they preach and to be free to be themselves. So what I mean by that is I don't want you to just put on your financial planner hat and then you're accepting of people. And then when you're not a financial planner, you're raging, flying off the handle. Like it's not okay. I've seen it on social media. I've seen other advisors being attacked on social media for diversity inclusion, for some of their views. And it's like, why can't we just be accepting of, like, that's what works for them, this is what works for me? So I want people to have that same kind of a feeling throughout. In one of those podcasts that I think you heard the soundbite from, they asked me, am I the same positive person in real life that I am on social media? And I just turned the question on them and I said, well, you guys have talked to me off camera. What did you think? And they were like, it was pretty good energy in the room. Okay, thank you. You know, I want this to be a real genuine thing. I don't want it to just be my financial planner hat is positive. Like, I want all of life to be positive. So that's something that I preach to my mentees is, like, don't do things just for your career's sake. Like, do things for your own personal growth that you can have flourish through your career.
No, I love that. I love that. And that's the whole idea about just the integrity, really, right? Being whole. The person that they see on social media is actually Jacqueline. And now, granted, you're not going to see every A to Z thing, but what I'm showing you is actually a genuine representation of who I am. I love that.
You wouldn't want to see everything A to Z.
That's with all of us, right? That's with all of us.
Mundane, honestly.
So I have to say congratulations on your book, Money Planning and Positivity, A Guide to a Better Financial Life. I think that really, really captures the essence of what I wanted to have a conversation with you about, which is finding your voice. Talk about finding your voice with this particular book. Why did you write it? What was the kind of the gist behind that? I know you've alluded to that a little bit in the podcast, but kind of give us the version of the story that you want everybody to remember.
Well, I'm so glad that you asked, Dom. So writing the book, we have talked about the genesis throughout this podcast. And the thing that we didn't talk about is the goal to actually write the book. So I would have to go back and double check. But I think it was maybe 2017 that I said, like, these are my 10-year goals. Like, I write them down. Like, these are my long-term goals. And so I was like, being an author would be cute. Let's put author on the list. So author had been on the list for a few years, and I hadn't tackled it yet, but I see it, you know, every year subsequently. So 2020 and everything that happened this year really propelled me into writing the book. And I spoke earlier to my own, to the post of my own, like, mental health issues, which you can go back and see on my social media. I posted it in August, I believe. But part of that, as well as wanting to be an author, and then, you know, shout out to COVID for the lockdown. I wrote this book during COVID while I was locked down in my house.
I think this is the first time I've heard a shout out to COVID.
I do it all the time. Shout out to COVID. I told you, we're going to flip everything, put a positive spin on it.
There you go.
Thank you for that, COVID. You forced me to sit down and actually write the book. And as I was setting the 10-year goal, I had heard a podcast or YouTube video or something where this motivational speaker, I can't quote them, I don't know who it was, but he said, what if you could accomplish your 10-year goals in 6 months? And so I set out on a mission to do that in 2019. Some of it got done, some of it didn't, but some of it got done this year, which was the book. So Money Planning and Positivity speaks to what my brand is. A couple of years ago, I had just adopted that kind of tagline. And so as I was trying to figure out what exactly it was that I wanted to write about, I wanted to make sure that there's no other books in the works, but I wanted to make sure that my first book, possibly my only book, is actually encompassing of what I stand for. And so this is what I stand for. So it happens to be a book that works well with my career, but I really wanted to write something about, you know, what it is that I believe in. And I believe in financial planning because I know the effects that it has on a family, whether those effects are good or it's absent of planning and then you see those negative results. I just believe in the power of financial planning for your own wellness. And then the positivity piece, because, you know, not only have I had my own mental health struggles, but with COVID, I haven't talked to anybody who didn't have any mental health struggles this year and who doesn't regularly have, you know, some sort of issues. So I don't know when we're going to stop calling them mental health issues and just, like, adulting, part of being an adult. But so all of those things led me to want to write Money Planning and Positivity. And in the book, I break it down into four pillars of wealth. The first pillar being actually health. You know, I had a short stint with COVID at the beginning of the lockdown where I myself was sick for several weeks. So I want to make sure that that was included in there. And then I talk about, of course, financial wealth, social wealth, and time wealth. And so the book breaks down all four of those pillars that really just hold up your entire life. And so that's why this is a guide to a better financial life, because I feel like your finances are the heartbeat. And so I really hope that people find this book enjoyable. I hope that it's something that is helpful for your life. It can be found on Amazon. I'm sure we'll link it.
Yeah. We'll give them all the resources that you provided me with to get a hold of it. I think this is great. As I'm just thinking back on our very first podcast to this one, and hopefully this doesn't say sound condescending, but you know me as being older, but I'm astounded and impressed by your maturation in this industry as not only a planner, but as a woman. So kudos to you, hats off to you. You're doing a great job with what you're doing and for the profession as a whole.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, when I thought of launching things, getting things out there, I've had a lot of feedback from your side, and a lot of people have mentioned you during, you know, our last, I think it's a couple of years of knowing each other. So I want to commend you as well for your efforts. I know making YouTube videos and podcasts and like all the content and all the ways that you help young advisors get into the profession. I know it's not easy work. Somebody has to do it. So I appreciate you for helping propel our profession forward.
No, I appreciate that. Well, Jacqueline, as you know, this is a podcast to help empower tomorrow's financial professional with tools to serve their clients at a deeper and more meaningful level. If you have any word or words of wisdom for tomorrow's financial professional, what would you leave them with?
I would leave tomorrow's financial professionals with keeping yourself and keep pushing forward.
Yeah, I think the message of being able to take care of yourself as a professional speaks volumes, especially what we saw in 2020. I think it needs to be underscored and bold and italicized, because there's no way you can be a good service professional for your clients unless you've first taken care of yourself. So I love that.
Absolutely. It's very important that you're not attaching yourself necessarily to a company or to a title, but that you do realize that you are your own brand, especially in this digital era where you can brand yourself. You are your own brand.
No, that's great. Finding your voice and holding your ground in financial services. Thank you, Jacqueline Shattuck. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Dom.
Hey there, I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. First, you need to write down your most important takeaway, and then you need to give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. Also, remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to join my free community to learn more about how you can become a next generation financial professional, please text me at 214-544-9226. I love to hear from you and point you in the right direction. Bye for now, until our next conversation. Mm-hmm.